Jim, you ready?
Okay. Rob?
Rob Dalton. I'm over from the eastern part of the county. There's so much to be considered here, it's hard to really find a place for a good starting point, but I want to recognize, first of all, that probably, Chuck, you may be the only one of the commissioners that has much knowledge of what we're making reference to and was around at the time that all this happened. But I've resided in my residence for some 23 years, and I was approached about this year and told that I was in a floodplain. As I began to research and try to figure out how they put me in a floodplain, much of what's already been said by James and Eddie has been brought out this morning. But I called FEMA myself and talked to them, and they told me, they said that I would have to come to the planning and zoning, and Eddie Cox, he was the gentleman's name, and that the county could pull me out of the floodplain. This is a report that FEMA gave me. Whether that's right or wrong, this is what they told me. They told me that the county did not want to bear the expense of shooting floodplain elevations in the rural areas that they did over around the larger areas of Branson and different places like that along the lakes, but out in the rural areas that they didn't want to go to the expense of paying to have all that done at the time. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but this is what FEMA was telling me. So I went to Eddie Coxey, and like they told me, and Eddie said it's not that simple. As he's well explained to you this morning, he gave me a list of forms and told me I'd have to go to a surveyor, have a surveyor sign off on it, shoot some elevations. If you'll note, and I'm not sure if you all got the map ID number that I'm making reference to, I can give you that if you want to go and look at just this simple parcel. Do you all have that, the map ID, FEMA map ID number I'm making reference to?
It's not in mine because I did not have a specific case that I was being referred to.
No, I don't have it.
Okay.
So they don't have anything. I just gave them a copy of one of our maps to show them what it looked like.
Okay, so they don't have a copy of what I'd faxed over to request to be on the agenda. Okay, if you want to write this down, the FEMA map ID number is 29213C0125D for your reference. FEMA phone number, I guess you can get that off Eddie probably.
Do you know who you talked to at FEMA?
I don't have it in these notes. I think I have it in some other notes. No, actually I've talked to him two or three times.
Okay.
But anyway, if you look and if you go to some of the information FEMA sent me back, and you're more than welcome to this, but Zone A is the zone that they declare that I'm in a floodplain. But on theirs, it says no base flood elevations determined. This is where I'm at, is in Zone A, where no base flood elevations have been determined. So it's going through my mind, how can they put me in a floodplain when they don't even know the elevation of a floodplain? And why would my county commission adopt something, a floodplain map from FEMA, when there's no elevation shot? It's beyond me how that this could happen or why it could happen. And Eddie, in some of his statements, if you caught earlier, said that the county, when they come back to him, they had so many days to go out and drive some of this out, look at some of these areas to see whether or not indeed there was. And apparently no one from the county went out and looked at any of this. And the reason I say that is because I went and got from the Soil and Water topo maps, and they wouldn't even have to get out of their car to read a topo. They could have looked at the topo map and told that there was something bad wrong with FEMA's map that they was trying to get them to adopt. But the topo shows different elevations between my neighbor and I. And my neighbor, if you're standing in my living room of my home, I can look down on my neighbor's house. He's right beside the creek. And Danny, you've probably been up to where I live, and you know. My neighbor is not in the floodplain. All right? You can go to Brown Branch, a little town, if any of you have ever been there. There's a little country church that sits there in the bottom right beside Caney Creek where Caney and Beaver come together. I've carried pews out of that church before because of it flooding. It's well known that different times it backs up and floods. That little country church isn't in the floodplain. The surveyor that I had to contact to go out and shoot elevations and to do a site plan and all these things just to prove that I'm not. And the reason I went to the expense of this, if I ever want to secure long-term financing with a locked-in rate, which I have considered doing, but if I ever want to, I'm going to have to buy flood insurance. The flood insurance, my insurance company told me just a rough estimate, would be $2,400 a year, flood insurance only, not fire, not theft, not lightning, flood only, $2,400 a year. All right. If I ever want to sell my home, if it's in a floodplain, it's going to hurt the value of it there. All right. My assessed evaluation on my home, I assume, is being assessed that I'm not in the floodplain, which either I am or either I'm not. But one way or the other, if I'm going to, you know, pay that I'm not in a floodplain, I don't want the county to adopt a plan saying I am in a floodplain, but then tax me on the higher end that I'm not. And for 23 years, I've been there. But to go on, for the surveyor, I wanted to prove this and to settle it, that I'm not in a floodplain and hopefully prevent any other citizen of the county to not have to go through what I've gone through, to prove after 23 years that they've lived there that all of a sudden they're in a floodplain when they're not. So the surveyor come out, and the first thing they're telling me before as they begin to set up all their equipment is, Rob, this is silly. You're not in a floodplain. And, well, I know, but this is what I have to do to prove I'm not. So they go through all this process, and it's going to cost quite a little bit of money to prove that I'm not, and it just doesn't seem fair to me. And the questions that I had, most of them's already been asked. Why would the county officials adopt this flood map without having known elevation flood points established for all areas of the county? And this is what the surveyor's up against now. There's no flood elevation determined. The only thing they're doing is shooting elevations. Now, who's going to say what the flood elevation is? Somebody somewhere is going to have to determine that. FEMA tells me when I get all this information back that they will go through it and make that determination. Again, why did we shoot them in other parts of the county and not every part of the county? Did the commission ever consider, and again, a lot of you guys wasn't here, I understand that, but how it would affect the county residents with their insurance premiums, the values of their homes, the assessed evaluation. Why is it up to the homeowners to prove they're not in a flood zone? And what, basically, the biggest question, what steps can you gentlemen take to correct this problem? To ensure that this doesn't happen to someone else down the road. But the two places I made reference to within 2 miles of my home, if you was to drive down Caney Creek Road, within 2 miles, there is such a large discrepancy. The church, my neighbor, the surveyor believes in looking at the map that FEMA has given you and that you have adopted, that the map has slipped off because of the contours and the way that it lays. He believes that it has just slipped. Whether it has or not, I don't know. If it has, FEMA needs to correct their problem. And, you know, it would be my opinion, probably wouldn't go very far, but that they should bear the cost of the mistake that they've made and the money that they've cost me. But
I'm in total agreement with you, Rob. I think that something as far-fetched as what we're talking about, and I know the area where you're at, and like I said, I've been to your house to look at your cattle, know where you live, I know where these other locations are at. If one citizen in this county has to pay when someone else in the county doesn't have to pay because the county's took the bearing load off of citizens that live in a certain area and have applied them to the citizens that live in another area, the same county, is not right. So I don't know whether a letter from this commission, we have paid literally thousands and thousands of dollars for the opportunity to know elevations for sewer lines within 2 feet of any part of Taney County that comes through the IS department. So why one citizen would have to bear the load and the cost and then pay the extra premium because of a mistake that they've made, I would be in favor of this commission writing a letter demanding that the charges of whatever it costs to do this would be taken on by FEMA instead of one of the citizens of the county. Now, we also have a gentleman that goes out when we get ready to build a road, Randy Hayes, who's, I guess, your neighbor, and shoots elevations that we use through federal programs that the Corps of Engineers honors, and everybody else honors his coordinates for elevations. Why wouldn't FEMA, why couldn't we send a person like that, the county, if we're going to adopt and accept something, why wouldn't we send somebody out there, and why wouldn't they accept it also? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of questions to be answered in this scenario. Rob had called me earlier. At the time, I know he wasn't very happy with what was going on. I sympathized with him, did not know the direction to send him or lead him to find out. I'm glad that you have approached this, took it upon yourself to find out, and I think the main thing is that we try to make sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else. Now, I have a rough time with some of FEMA's process where they only pay a certain amount. Doesn't make any difference if your home is a $200,000 home or if it's I forget what the limit is, of $30,000 to $60,000 or something like that. They'll only pay your home's only worth that much in their insurance program, no matter what the cost is. I'd have to get those exact figures, so I don't want to be quoted on the figures. But I have a problem with that. We went through two FEMA events that one pertained to flooding, one pertained to ice. But the one with the flooding situation in Branson was very confusing, whether if they had 50% of the damage, then we were supposed to buy them out and not let them rebuild there. And we had to go through a process of working that out because of the citizens that lived in that area. So I guess the old term, what's fair for the goose is fair for the gander, is real appropriate in this matter. Yes. And I think that the people, the citizens of Eastern Taney County deserve to be treated the same as the citizens in the Branson-Hollister area who don't have to pay the same cost.
Yes, I appreciate that.
I wasn't clear, I guess, Danny, but there's been folks over in Branson area, that's who I was talking about earlier, that have faced this. I mean, it's not just an east-west thing. It's county-wide.
Right. I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about on the person that was on the Bee Creek project that had the property lined up on the bluff. Is that who you're talking about?
I don't remember either one of them. Well, I remember one of them. That was at Emery Creek.
Right.
But it didn't have anything to do with the Bee Creek project. But the point is, they sat in the same spot that Rob sat in. And I'm looking for answers. I mean, I think we got the problem pretty clear. I've heard it said that the county paid the expense on the west side, but I don't know that we've paid. I don't remember any location.
In front of you states that the maps were developed on existing information. I got the impression that the county did not pay.
Didn't pay anything.
Anything to have anything done. Now, you have to understand that when you get into the incorporated areas, the city of Branson, We don't control their floodplain. That's them. So they may have chosen the city of Branson to put forth the money, or they may have had better information there because of all the construction that's in that area and it's kind of concentrated. In this situation, they would work back down to maybe a bridge that MoDOT or somebody's put up and start with that elevation and work back. So the further out you are, the worse, you know, the longer they have to go. But the letter that you have as far as the areas that Taney County administers over, the indication is that they were going to use best available information at that particular time. And that's probably why they're coming back with this grant that they've got to establish some better areas and everything. But all of the incorporated areas would have dealt with FEMA on their own, separate from Taney County.
If I remember correctly, the maps that were used were maps that were provided. I don't know if they were USGS or FEMA maps, but they were not great maps. And they were going to do updated maps in the more populous areas, I think first. And there are inaccuracies. There are people on Acacia Club Road and other places that had to pay for surveyors to show that they weren't in the floodplain, or to build, they had to hire surveyors to show how much they needed to elevate, because that information wasn't readily available on the maps that we had at that time. Some of those areas are being updated with maps, and there are mistakes made. I mean, for instance, if you're close to a river and on a bluff, okay, somehow they might have made a mistake and gotten you in there when you shouldn't be. Your problem is having to show that you're not in there, and how do you best show that without a major expense to yourself? With all due respect to Commissioner Strahan, I think a letter would be great to FEMA, but FEMA's not going to say, you're right, Commissioner Strahan, we'll pay for the expense of this taxpayer who we made a mistake on. They're going to still make you probably pay for your survey. If there's some way to, I guess, make this, absent getting rid of FEMA totally, and there needs to be some way of trying to minimize the expense and the process for you. I don't know what that is without discussing with Eddie or possibly the people from FEMA, but that would probably be the best solution for you right now, is to find out how you can best correct the problem with the least paperwork and the least expense, if I'm speaking correctly. I don't know.
Well, I've already went to the expense and the paperwork. It's all in the process, you know. There's a lot of people down the road that shouldn't have to, in my opinion, shouldn't have to go through this.
And so this is for the future for other people. Okay.
Well, you know.
Unfortunately, he'll go through the expense, and his neighbor may be able to use his coordinates that he finds and everything like that, but the neighbor will have to do the exact same thing. Only thing he can do is say, you've issued a letter of map amendment to my neighbor. Here's how I set in relation to him. He'll have basically the same expense. It may not be quite as much for his survey because he's established points up to his property. So they would be able to use that, but they can't just say, my neighbor's this, so take me out.
I was trying to see if there was some way that the county could be helpful.
Well, here's the one I'm saying, and what, sure, they may not pay any attention to the fact that I would say, I think you need reimbursement. They might say, ha, 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 ha. Laugh at you, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the fact that we have coordinates that they should honor. The Corps of Engineers honors our coordinates that we have, so why shouldn't we be able to serve our citizens with Randy Hayes going out and shooting a shot that the Corps of Engineers and other government agencies honor? Why shouldn't the FEMA also honor those and not be an expense other than to the county to take care of our citizens? That's where I'm getting at, not the fact that I think they would pay for his expense. That can be put in there.
Well, it sounds like we need a work session with FEMA and the FEMA people to see what can be done to avoid this situation in the future, as far as can GPS coordinate shots be used and avoid the situation in the future. Sounds like we need more information.
Right.
That's where I'm going. The expense incurred, FEMA doesn't actually charge, you know, for their application or anything like that. It is all from the engineer and everything. And unfortunately, what FEMA is requiring is that it be a licensed engineer who will sign and seal the paper. Now, if we have somebody in the county that can do that, and that's you wanted to assign them to doing that kind of thing for the citizens, as long as he's a licensed engineer and shoots the elevations, they would accept that.
as the way I read the form. It just has to be a licensed engineer who can seal that. So, now I don't know if you want the county going to that expense to run out to everywhere. That's not my call to make. Their form just requires a licensed engineer.
Is that a survey? Licensed surveyor? Is he adequate for an engineer?
That is correct.
So is the expense of having Randy Hayes maybe be take a whatever test or whatever would be the proper procedure, would that outweigh the number of citizens or the things that we would have to take care of because we have him shoot coordinates for us all the time?
I'm not saying it wouldn't. I'm just saying that's FEMA's requirement that it just be sealed by an engineer,
right,
and everything. That, I guess that's their way of verifying that somebody just didn't fill out a form and send it in to them so they could, they could be out or whatever. I will tell you this, down in the Poverty Point area, we've had four or five people over at Stonebridge Village, the portion that lays in Taney County. We had a whole street, and all the neighbors got together and did it as one shot and got the whole street out. But unfortunately, when you get into the more rural areas, if your neighbor's not being concerned with it at this particular point, I'm sure he doesn't want to pitch in and help you because he doesn't need the expense either. So,
I'm still not sure that we're getting the point here. The federal government has topos of this entire thing. They can tell me what color of my vehicle is sitting in my yard, and they can probably read Ford or Chevy on it through satellite. That information is already available, and it has to be by satellite, on what these coordinates are. The reason FEMA fell behind on establishing the coordinates in Taney County is because the landing filled up the floodplain and they had to raise it. It's not a secret. When you put a glass of water out here and you drop an ice cube in it, it raises it. That's where a lot of people got disturbed that was out of the floodplain. Then when the new coordinates come in and they go, wow, I was in the floodplain but 1 foot, James. I couldn't believe it. They figure that by the amount of volume that goes into the lakes. So that's why FEMA drug their feet. They promised these coordinates. Simple. And they can do it. It can be done without an expense to this taxpayer. And don't tell me that FEMA can shoot this roof today through satellite and tell you how high it is above sea level. We got that technology, guys. And we all know it. We all know we have it.
Sounds like we need a work session with the FEMA or SEMA people to see what they can do.
If I could say this, and talking to Mr. Blunt's office, Roy Blunt, they encouraged me because the elevations FEMA apparently fell down on completing shooting the other elevations in a rural area, that after visiting with James, that he remembered they promised they would do this. Roy Blunt's office said that they could put FEMA back on the ball with the county commission to finish the work. If that's possible, if you guys could have any leverage there to get with Mr. Blunt's office to encourage him to proceed on, I don't know.
But we've got a good relationship with Steve McIntosh, his right hand. We can contact him and find out what that's about. See if we can get, like Bob was saying, a work session and look at it.
But what James, I believe everything James said is true. There's so much technology and so much information that we have, and FEMA setting, the FEMA person I talked to was in, Maryland. And, if they can set in Maryland and then we can submit all this information to them and they can come back with the determination that I'm not in a floodplain. But again, and this map here, it would be something good for you guys to look at as to what the surveyor believed that it has, the whole thing has shifted. It's going to make a great difference all the way up and down through the creek. But,
Rob, how'd this start for you? How'd this all come up? Your house has been there 23 years?
Yes, yes. And I guess in 2006, the way I understand, they adopted the floodplain.
They got the new maps.
Yeah, right. And somehow or another, during the process of however long it takes to come around, the bank was the one that first notified me.
Okay.
And then I had considered, you know, maybe locking in some long-term financing, and when you do that, one of the first things they want to know if your home's in floodplain. And
I don't know whether we can answer this. Maybe this is for the work session. But does SEMA, do they honor? I mean, would FEMA honor SEMA's regulations, or do they coordinate? That's one of the things. Is Maynard? He's your representative, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Have you visited with him about that, or to see if he would intervene on the state level to see, because, you know, we might have more of a chance with the state, if FEMA would honor SEMA's regulations on the thing? I don't know. I'm just guessing at this point.
I don't either, but in all fairness, and I don't want to offend any of you, you know, for sure, but like I said at the beginning, James or Danny and Jim, I don't believe is on the commission, knew anything about any of this, and Chuck possibly. I think Chuck might have been here, but when they sent this back saying, you know, if there's any problems with the maps, you guys tell us, and then they finally finalized when they didn't hear anything back from Taney County, then they just, okay, it must be all good. Actually, the county dropped the ball, and I'm not here to hurt you guys' feelings in any way or offend you, but that's, to me, it looks like what happened. And to go back now, like I said, to go back now after the county, well, you guys told us once it's okay. Now you're saying it's not.
Right.
You know, it's really the county. They just kind of dropped the ball on this deal, looks to me like. But what they do with it from here is what I'm interested in. I just hope that they can correct it. And I hate it that I'm out the, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I hate it I'm out the money to get all this done when I'm just kind of sitting there trying to live and get by. And next thing I know, I'm out $800 to $1,000 or whatever it winds up costing me. Well, it'd be $600, $800, whatever. But I hate that. But so whatever you guys can do to correct it, that's why I'm here.
Appreciate you bringing it to our attention.
All right, anything? Rick?
I'd like to see you.
Why don't you come to the mic, Rick, please?
Ed said you thought you were going to get new maps. From what Rob said, that we need to be real cautious about those maps. We need to be really scrutinizing those maps. That's one thing you need to do for sure. It sounds like...
Well, you talk about an expense. I mean, if the county's going to go out and check all of these floodplain maps...
Bob, I'm not saying go out and check them. I'm saying maybe we want to have them go out and check them. It sounds to me like it's their responsibility, not ours. We need to say, no, this is not right until it's right.
But Rick...
But how do we know?
Question, how do we know? And that's the question when Rob's talking there. Kurt's gone, but Larry Rowland's still around. I'm going to check with him. I think P&Z drove and checked the maps with FEMA. But how would you check? I mean, how would you do that?
I know that Larry, of course, having lived here most of his life and everything like that, Larry did spot several problems on the maps where they actually flowed the wrong direction, the stream or whatever curved maybe to the left and it should have curved to the right. He did catch some of that in the areas that he was familiar with. I asked if the department had ever publicized that they have new maps and anybody that lives near water or anything like that, or creeks dry or not, should come into the office and make known, you know, they can look at the map and see what's being said. I think that's one of the ways. Benita says she did not recall that the planning department had put an ad in the newspaper or advertised to do anything like that on the radio. She didn't know if the commission at that time had done that or not. You know, I don't know. I could drive every area, and you know, but again, you can't. Some things you can see are obvious. I mean, if you go over here to the creek, right down here from the courthouse, and the house is setting up on top of that bluff, you can look at that and go, not in the floodplain.
Guys, I'd like to go ahead and just table this discussion until we get it. I mean, we have a lot more questions than we have any answers to, and we've got other things on the agenda, and we have a schedule that we're falling behind greatly. But obviously we need to address this in a work session, so can we table this or just commit to reschedule it later on this week or maybe the first part of next week when we get FEMA involved? Would you guys be open to that?
I think yes. there's too many questions unanswered.
Let's
beginning of next week.
Well, we just need to find out FEMA. If Rob can give us anybody he's talked to at FEMA, that way we can get with them and see if we can't get them on a conference call as soon as possible. And based off their schedule, we'll set our time up.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Motion to table.
Okay. We don't have a time to table. Let's just move on.
We're committed to come back.
Right.
Repost.
Yep. Repost.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie, for your time. Rob, James, everybody.
Apologize for all that. Okay.
Okay. Kanakuk Camp questions. It's yours, James.
Yeah. I'll be quick and brief on this one. Because, like I say, it's questions, and questions seem to be hard to answer. And so I know it's going to take some thought and time. I passed out to the Board of Equalization, and I think you gentlemen got copies of it, what the Supreme Court said about exemptions. Did you guys get those in the BOE?
Talking about the Franciscan test?
Yeah, yes. Where it says tax collectors come calling at churches.
We did talk about that.
Okay. And I guess one question would be, why would Taney County be any different than the Supreme Court of the United States of America? Then, one other question I had in listening to the decision-making process is... probably how many corporation that's making $20 million has been exempted in Taney County and why they would receive exemption. I think one of the questions that probably would need to be answered is why would you exempt real property and not their personal property if they're an exempt organization? And I think that's what happened. I got a letter this morning. I announced that we got the personal property forms out and requested them back. This is a January 18th at 1:55 p.m. A representative of Kanakuk Camp says, "I work for Kanakuk Ministries. We are a not-for-profit tax-exempt company. I insist in managing our fleet and received the 2010 personal property assessment form. Do we need to fill this out, being a tax-exempt company?" That's quite a statement, a company that's tax-exempt. "But if so, can I send a list of our items on a separate sheet of paper? We own far more items than not what will fit on the form." So I think that's a question that needs to be answered.
Okay, hang on, James. Let me catch up with you. One question was why real property and not personal?
Right.
And the issue you just brought is personal property?
Yes, this is personal property. This was an email.
You got a letter from Kanakuk when?
Yeah.
When?
It says January 18th, 2010, 1:55 p.m.
I can answer the first question. They weren't exempted until late in December, and the exemption applied to what they appealed, and they only appealed two parcels of real property. They didn't appeal any personal property. So that's why the real property and not the personal property. But I guess you could ask the question, well, if they are, if their property is used totally for worship purposes, their real estate, and is exempt, what is their personal property used for? I don't think we've heard anything on what their personal property is used for.
This is a BOE issue, is that correct? From that aspect, and they would have to bring that before the BOE to request exemption on the personal property.
On the personal property.
Okay. Because our decision was strictly for those two parcels that they...
That's all they appealed with, the two parcels of real estate. Okay.
So, James, what I'm hearing is, to answer your question, that's why real property, personal, wasn't addressed.
I don't have no idea why it wasn't addressed. When you're handing out exemptions, they're either exempt or they're not.
Well, Well, I think Bob's saying they didn't ask for it. All they asked for was the real property.
And we didn't hear what the personal property is used for. Is it used in conjunction with the real estate, or is it used for some profit-making operation? We didn't hear any evidence about the use of the personal property.
Correct.
So how does a church that has a youth van, do they pay personal property tax on it?
Some do.
Well, if they use it part-time as a commercial business, they'd pay taxes on it. I mean, you'd have to present evidence as to why the personal property would be exempt.
So are you looking for BOE to help you make that decision on the personal property? Is that where we're headed?
Actually, I'm going to wait for BOE to make the decision. It doesn't seem to be that the assessor's decisions based on the law weighs much any longer on specific properties. So I'll be waiting for your guidance on this, and in the meanwhile, the schools will have to wait to get their monies from these properties if they are not exempt. I don't know. It was just, like I say, the questions people just keep coming back at me is how, why. It talks about churches that buys, let's see.
February 11th at 9 o'clock is our next BOE session.
Okay. Maybe you guys can decide then. It'll be quite a precedent-setting decision.
James, you and Danny and myself were on the BOE in 07, and Kanakuk brought us an issue. I think it was their newest camp, and it was exempted, right?
That was a totally different situation. The property and the improvements was in the ministry's name. I wasn't on that BOE in 2007, I don't believe.
James, Kennecock has done a lot of restructuring, one would suspect for tax purposes. There's going to need to be a lot of information sought and obtained to look at the situation to see what decisions have to be made.
Right. Well, and that's also, but I've been asked actually two times to present questions to Mr. Pennell. He's asked me, he said, what are those questions and what are some of those questions? So instead of it lingering, now he can work on those questions and see if he can come up with any answers to them by February 11th, did you say?
February 11th, 9 o'clock is our next scheduled BOE meeting.
Review the questions, because I think Bob answered the one on why real estate, not personal. What are the questions so I can work on it?
He didn't answer that to me. He may have answered it good enough for you, because if you're exempt, you're exempt. You don't have to ask for it.
So you're saying that if it's an exempt real estate,
right,
any vehicles that's working on it are exempt too? Is that what you're saying?
I'd say if it's owned by the ministries and used it purely and exclusively. That's what we keep missing on these exemptions.
But there was no evidence that the personal property was used exclusively for worship purposes, only the real estate.
There was no evidence that the real estate was.
Well,
I'd like to see the minutes.
The factual
was.
Determination, I might agree with you. Okay, but the BOE made the decision,
right,
that it was exempt. I believe they made the determination for religious purposes. They would have to meet the Franciscan test, at least they should meet the Franciscan test before the BOE exempts them. It's arguable whether they met the Franciscan test or not. Obviously, you disagree that they met the Franciscan test. But if they met the Franciscan test, whether they did or they didn't, the BOE voted to exempt those two parcels of real estate. So they are exempt unless that status is changed in 2010. But the personal property is a different issue than the real property. You don't determine the personal property based upon how the real property is taxed.
The improvements only. I think that's where you're missing the boat.
I would like to say this is a BOE matter, not
right.
A commission
matter. Right. Well, that's fine. This was just a few questions. And
sure.
Like I said, and why would you vote to exempt a property that claimed they made $20 million last? I think he said that right here in front of you the day you exempted him. That was the major question I had.
And again, $20 million, just because a not-for-profit makes $20 million doesn't mean that it isn't tax-exempt. It matters what those profits are used for.
Right.
And
right.
Makes and revenues.
And James, profit. I think I gave you the best answer in the meeting why I felt that it was exempt. You missed it in the BOE meeting, was it last week?
Yes.
Jim said he had questions of that maybe he didn't make the best decision. Bob had shared with me earlier that you all probably should have had more information. He said that in the meeting, but didn't pay real good attention, maybe. And so I think we need to look at that again, and I shared that in the BOE meeting.
That'll be an entire BOE decision for 2010.
But so far, the two questions I've heard is, why would you exempt a company that made $20 million,
mm-hmm.
and why did you exempt real estate, not personal? Were there other questions?
Yeah, and I don't believe, and Bob can provide you with the Franciscan test, I don't believe they meet anything on the Franciscan test.
I know, but were there any other questions that you had about the issue?
No. I guess, yeah, I have one. Why would you exempt a property if you didn't know the answer to all the questions you had?
I told you, James. I looked at it as if it were, it's a ministry. It's a, does the work of a church. It says that's its mission. I see that we've got churches that have summer camps that do the same functions that Kanakuk does. They worship there. I don't think there's any question on a regular basis when the camp's open. That's why I saw it that way.
But that is now, a fine question.
Pardon me?
That was a fine question, though. I mean, one that will have to be answered again this year when we determine whether
Absolutely.
It's exempt or not.
And if I'm wrong, we need to change it. And I've made a few phone calls trying to find out how other counties handle churches that own summer camps and run the same kind of program. So I'm trying to answer your question. I gave you the best answer I could.
Well, see, I think an impression on you is that because the word church is used, an exemption. In this article, it says, these ventures are a far cry from bingo. In 2004, Christ Chapel Community Church in Macon, Georgia, paid $6 million for a sports town, an athletic club, offering tennis, basketball, roller hockey for free. And they weren't exempt. This is a Supreme Court talking here.
This seems to be a BOE issue that, I mean, obviously there's a disagreement between the presiding and the assessor, and it's a BOE issue, not a county commission issue, so I don't know that anything can be resolved. But
and then who pays the difference?
Jim has a question.
Well, I think this.
Questions.
I think this is
not
a commission.
Chuck James.
Well, then I move that we table this discussion until February 11th when the BOE is in session.
Okay.
Jim, this may be a county commission session, but we'll let Bob figure that one out. It's delinquent.
I just think we've got to deal with the BOE first.
James, you have said to us before, when we were talking BOE matters in this room, probably most of us here heard you say, this is a BOE issue. You shouldn't be talking about it as a county commission. Yet you brought us this issue, and I'm trying to get your answers to your questions. You told us a couple of weeks ago that there were many questions that are unanswered, and I'm just trying to find you the answers.
Quite frankly, if you're discussing BOE issues, you're doing so without two members of the BOE, and it's not fair to those two
exactly.
members of the BOE.
And if you got questions, I think the firm, Kanakuk, ought to be asking them those questions.
Well, sure, I'd ask them any time, and I think I asked them the other day. But that's fine. It's not an issue, guys.
You give me guidance to assess property. This is the guidance you've given me that places that swim, canoe, and everything under God's name is exempt from taxation when the Supreme Court says it's not. So that's the guidance you've bestowed upon me, same as the building built north of town.
The Board of Equalization gave the guidance.
And
that's right.
And that's not true. We didn't tell you to exempt everything. We never gave you that. but I'm saying that we told you.
Okay,
we gave you direction.
That is not true. Motion to table again.
Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Are you giving a motion to table? I guess that overrides any discussion, but I had a, I sat in the meeting and argued the same point when Kerry Walden and Mr. Ruda come in to discuss a BOE issue with the county commission, and it was all right with you two gentlemen to sit and listen to the same argument that has been presented by the assessor this morning. And we sat and heard that same issue, and you guys didn't, and whenever I asked, I said, you're talking about a BOE issue, and there's three members of the commission here this morning, and you shouldn't be discussing it. But you went ahead and heard it.
So, Bob, do you know what he's talking about?
Yes. There was a meeting in the conference room, I can't remember the date, and Dan Ruda came with Kerry Walden to discuss litigation, and there were some issues that had to do with the county commission, but I think at the time I said that this, when the issue came up, and I don't know if Danny raised it or who raised it, that it would be an issue that would be better discussed with the BOE. I think that cut the meeting somewhat short, or shorter than it was going to be, but there was a discussion that probably would have been better in front of the Board of Equalization.
I just like for things to be equal, Bob, and you know what I was asking whenever I asked the question. I just like for, if we're going to hold a standard, I just like for it to be the same for everybody.
Well, it's just, it, okay.
And if it's a BOE issue, then James should wait. I've heard Chuck ask James for these questions a couple of different times. I'm not standing up for James on this. He come and answered or asked the questions or tried to answer them.
I don't think it's any secret to you or to Jim or even to Chuck that I agree with James that I don't think the Franciscan test was met.
But I'm not arguing that point, okay?
All right.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying if we're going to listen to one, we're going to listen to them all.
Next year when all the taxes built up on the citizens, it'll be claimed to the assessor, not the BOE, because this exemption occurred and the money will have to be made up for the levy.
Are we ready to vote on the table?
I think we did ready.
Oh, yeah.
No, I
didn't. Or Danny didn't. Okay. We're tabled. Index exchange agreement. Is that yours, Bob?
Yeah. I mean, okay. This is a positive, actually. Mr. Dixon has asked me to let you know that the index exchange agreement that the county commission entered into is being finalized this week, and all the exchanges that need to be made will have been made at some point this week. The recorder of deeds, Robert Dixon, wanted me to thank the county commission for entering into the index exchange agreement with Tri-Lakes Title. Under the contract, Taney County provided Tri-Lakes Title with 162,383 electronic indexes from the dates of approximately 1895 through 1983. In return, Tri-Lakes provided the county with 163,000 electronic indexes from the dates 1983 through 1994, which the county still needed. By entering into this exchange agreement, the county commission saved Taney County taxpayers $45,000. Mr. Dixon wanted me to thank you on behalf of his office and on behalf of the taxpayers of Taney County. Here's a positive.
Good.
Thank you. Bob
does a great job.
Great job. Here you go.
All right. Next one. Any questions on that? Intergovernmental flow-through agreement. Is that yours too, maybe?
Yes. I'm not going to ask you to make a decision. I don't want to put that kind of... But the sewer district is meeting this afternoon, and some people believe that there's an intergovernmental agreement, and it would be a good idea to have an intergovernmental agreement between the county commission and the sewer district regarding the expenditure of sewer sales tax funds. And I have a draft based upon an old draft. I've changed around some that I want you to review.
Bob, what brought this back to the table?
It was presented by John Suti to the sewer district here last meeting, and he asked me...
I may have brought it up a couple months ago.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, okay. What brought me to bring this to you was the fact that John Suti presented it to the sewer board at the last meeting. I looked at two different agreements that he had. I changed around one of them some. They're going to bring it up again this afternoon. I told him I would present it to you before they met again. There's another agreement that has to do with expenditures of GCR funds on certain activities by the sewer district, such as septic inspection and some other miscellaneous duties. And I don't know whether we currently spend GCR monies with the sewer district for those sorts of things. So, and before I present you with anything on that, I'd want to know more about whether we actually are expending funds right now on septic inspection or if those are coming out of sewer district funds.
Bob, if I'm just a little bit confused on the fact that we can't do anything, and I know you're presenting this to us so that we are brought up to date.
And you can review it.
But we don't take any action upon this until after the sewer board's approval. You said it's going to be presented to them.
You could take it before, but you can take it after. It's going to be. They're going to look at it again this afternoon, and you can act after them. There's no requirement that you act first.
Right. Well, I would make a motion to table till after they've made their decision.
Quick question, Bob, in a nutshell, if possible, what's the pros and cons here?
What's the purpose? Well, the purpose is Taney County receives a fund for sewer sales tax, from sewer sales tax for capital improvements for sewer purposes. And you don't have a sewer department. So how in the world do you do anything with sewer sales tax funds? You can't, okay, unless you have the apparatus to spend it on those purposes. So you have to find an entity that's qualified and most appropriate to provide those services that the sewer sales tax is for. You have pretty much determined over the years that the sewer sales tax monies are best spent with the Taney County Regional Sewer District to provide sewer services for Taney County and keep the lakes clean. So in order to choose them, you need to have an intergovernmental agreement with them to provide those services. And in order to fund things and be able to finance and all that sort of thing, there needs to be some surety that you're going to give those funds when they encumber the district, because obviously the user fees aren't going to pay all that money for those systems. So there needs to be some sort of assurance. Most times, the county commission also enters into the contract along with the sewer district. But they used a flow-through agreement in the past. There are those who think we absolutely need it. It certainly is advisable to have this intergovernmental agreement, and it came up from different sources with Mr. Strafus earlier, and John Suti presented it to the sewer district at the last meeting, and I'm presenting you an updated version of that intergovernmental agreement, and you can decide whether you want to make changes in it or, you know, whatever you want to do with it. But I've provided you with a draft.
Thank you. So where were you coming from?
We didn't have an agreement in place. Okay. And it's a we're spending county money and have no agreement to spend the money. I mean, basically, we are in violation technically because we don't have an agreement in place currently with the sewer district.
When we decided to plow school district parking lots, we couldn't do that unless we were receiving something from them and we entered into an intergovernmental agreement. So they provided places for us to store road materials and some other miscellaneous things in return for, you know, if twice a year we have to plow off their parking lot while we're out there. So there needs to be some
if we're spending
consideration,
money,
some quid pro quo in the contract. So that goes for any district. We had some with Western Taney County Fire, I think, where we did something for them and they agreed to wash out some culverts. And this is simply the same situation. The sewer district has to provide something for the Taney County citizens in order for us to be able to give them the money, and there needs to be some sort of intergovernmental agreement.
And I'd ask for an update and review on all intergovernmental agreements that we have, because we have questions in certain areas. And Jim, I think I applaud you on bringing this forward so that we have a protection for ourselves. The school situation, the airport services are rendered by the city of Hollister to Taney County Airport.
Taney County Fire to the airport.
Those need to be updated. The plying of the runways, all those things need to, we need to make sure that those are in place mm-hmm. before we spend county tax dollars.
Basically, we need to make sure that if we're spending any money mm-hmm. Or labor or energy or effort, I mean, we have to have an intergovernmental agreement.
So. Right. And in some instances, there are services still being traded under the old agreement that no longer is in effect, and that we need an updated agreement.
Right.
I'd have to find where they are.
Right.
I don't know. So.
Right.
Bob, there's most of the time the county commission agrees with what the sewer district wants to do. If there's times that they haven't, does this?
I've tried to add something in there for that, and you need to review it and make whatever changes you think need to be in there, and I'll try to draft it the best I can, but I tried to put in a provision for that.
Okay. The provision that who has the last word? Is that what you're saying?
Well, obviously you three gentlemen are the stewards of the taxpayers' money that is under your, that comes to you.
Right.
So you're responsible for that tax money. If somebody's misspending it, you need to do something about it. And you need to have the ability to do that. You can't just contract away all of that responsibility. So you do have to have some checks and balances when you're giving money for a specific purpose, even if it is a valid purpose. So I tried to put that in the agreement, and it may need to be improved, but I added that to what was the intergovernmental agreement before.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So we'll stall that until later.
Well, they're going to read it, probably review it, and then give us some feedback, correct?
Okay.
That's the plan, Bob, is that they're going to present it to the sewer board, they're going to review it.
Right.
Discuss and
right.
All that.
Sounds good.
There's a EB, I think the next, is it EB Harrison Tower Agreement?
Yes, Lease Tower Agreement.
And Jillian brought that down. I don't know if she gave each of you, I guess they're here, if you could hand these down. This is the same agreement that we enter into every year. Maggie's asked me, can't we do a three-year agreement with these people so we don't have to do it every year? And basically it's for a repeater on one of the towers for the Sheriff's Department, and we enter TV or a radio station or something. I don't remember. I guess it's a TV station. And they had a tower, and we have a position on that tower for this repeater, and we enter into the same agreement every year. It hasn't changed.
But do we have this insurance policy that we're...
I would need to check. I would imagine with Tim Connell we should, if we have on all of our equipment that we have that.
Okay.
Another question is, Maggie's got a good question. Why is it they're up to them that they don't want to do more than 1 year? I mean, is there some reason that we can't enter into a three-year agreement? Or?
The price may change. I remember going out there about 5 years ago and negotiating this along with, I think, Jimmy, the contract for having our repeater on the tower. So, I mean, it's just a matter of getting in touch with whoever has the authority on the corporation side and renegotiating it for 3 years for whatever price they decide they want for 3 years. What we've done is every year we've just re-entered into this agreement.
Same price as last year?
Same price as the year before.
I'd suggest I'll make a motion to approve this agreement with caveat that we check to be sure insurance is covered.
Second.
Questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you, Bob.
there anything else on there for me? Or?
Not for you.
Okay.
I wanted to give you just a small update. I had asked Joan to check with Mel about the Tiger Grant status because of going back through my notes and memory, when Mel made his last presentation to us, the date for the award was supposed to be February, I believe, 17th. And then he also said that they were going to move it up 30 days is what he had heard. So that would have been this last Sunday. So my question was, did we hear anything? And the answer is no at this point. Mel did give a response to us this morning to Joan, and she forwarded me the email basically saying that they are going to make a Tiger Grant decisions will be made in January. So that is, they're still holding to that. The other thing that was discussed is that the selection committee, which was appointed at, from the state and, of course, the federal level, is now looking at smaller projects versus larger projects, which one rumor is that MoDOT's very nervous about that because all they submitted were large projects. And actually, that puts us in a very good position because we are considered a small project versus their large projects. That's all they have. They're going to notify the applicants of who they get when they, you know, when it's time. So we could know as quick as 2 weeks. But that's all they had. And then they didn't have any other information. We asked if they were, how they're going to notify us, and they said most likely a phone call or maybe an email. So
there's a whole gob of, that'd be a lot of phone calls, wouldn't it?
Well,
wasn't there a whole gob of projects?
I just went
nationwide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of them eliminated their sales, though, whenever they couldn't meet the qualifications.
Some did, and then there's we don't know how many they're selecting too. So, yeah.
Good update. What else?
I've got a little something that that I'm going to focus on this year, and because of recent incidents that have taken place. With the county and some of the statements that have been made by county employees and citizens that I'm going to make this year a year where you get to know your commissioner, you pay a little more attention to the votes they place, and that the reason that they vote that way be recorded in the minutes. Because there seems to be a misunderstanding. I've heard several comments from people that don't know Mr. Strophas at all about things that they don't even know what they're talking about. And it's been passed on by this one and that one, and there's been statements made about myself. And as far as I know, Mr. Strophas has never attended the Eastern Barn, and he has been criticized at the Eastern Barn for things that he didn't have anything to do with. So I'm going to make this a year of getting to know your commissioner and getting to understand his reasons for voting the way that he votes, and would like those things recorded in the minutes as we approve them.
Okay. I know Donna's, as Donna come in, I think the minutes are being recorded properly. What we're going to do is probably just make sure that
I have no problem with that. I just want the reason that the person has voted on the minutes to be
stated so that it can put in the minutes.
Stated so that
and I want to make sure. Sometimes I've been questioned when I see some county employees why I voted a certain way, and I didn't have the copy of the minutes at that time to show that I did vote a certain way or, you know, whatever. So that's part of my I guess what I'll be working on too is I'll have some copies of some key issues that if there's questions, I can get them the information. So.
And I want that perfectly known. There's no criticism on the way that Jim does the job or you do the job. We get the minutes on a timely basis now and everything as far as that. I just want those issues brought forward because whenever people ask questions that they have no idea even what they're talking about, I'd like to be able to provide minutes that would state why certain reason, why certain votes were taken the way they were taken?
We're happy to do that for you. In the past, we've only recorded your yes or no vote on the motion, mm-hmm. but if we receive direction from the commission to put in your reasons why, we'd be happy to do that. That's going to be difficult for us to do that during a meeting because when you're making a statement, oftentimes you change parameters, go on a different flow. So since you know what's going to be on the agenda ahead of time, you might write down what you plan to say and then turn that over to us. And, of course, you have to say what you have written down and hand to us. We won't put something different into the minutes. But we'd be happy to do that for any of you.
And we also have the audio tape.
The audio.
You certainly have the audio. Oh, yeah. And it's not just the live audio. You also have it recorded and kept on the internet, so anybody right. who wants to go back to a previous date can go and listen to your reasons why.
Right. We had circumstances where a citizen took totally off the wall statements. I don't know whether he pieced things together or what, but we had a citizen that posted around in every store in the country. Things about me and Mr. Pennell that were absolutely false, and we did not have, we could have took, I guess, documentation of those minutes, but they didn't say but nothing but a yes or no vote or some part of a conversation mm-hmm. that was taken, and so that's the reason I want to do that.
We'll do that for you, Danny. Well, I think we all know that. People take whatever they want away from our conversation. But we'll be happy to
have something else.
Yes, I do.
Quick comment on what just happened. Why don't you guys post the minutes at both barns? It wouldn't be a hard project to do every time you approve a copy. The employees has a right to know what you've decided, and they shouldn't have to go with hearsay. What I wanted to say, and I wanted in the minutes, I've told Jim, and I've told Danny, and this was late Friday, it's kind of an emergency situation, we're removing our products from the underground storage. In the process, we have discovered that we have 2001 personal property forms there, and I thought the agreement was they were to use Secretary of State rules and dispose of anything that was, what's the word, Bob? I'm a country boy, I can't remember. Dispose of anything that's outdated, that we don't need.
According to the retention schedule, may be destroyed, you may destroy it. And if it was your understanding that they were going to destroy anything that was permitted to be destroyed by the Secretary of State's schedule and they haven't done that, I think that's what you're saying.
We just discovered that this morning, that we have 2001 personal property forms there. We are actually going to destroy, because we have a lot of things scanned in, the 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004 personal property forms, which takes up huge volumes, and it was costing the county quite a bit of money just to keep that there, we're going to bring it down here to the jail and save that amount of money. It was ridiculous to pay $500 a month or $400 a month to store things that is absolutely obsolete and no use to the county.
If they're scanned, do they have to be maintained in paper form?
Yes. They are not recognizing, the Secretary of State is not, they've still got a question.
Yeah, they're not recognizing the electronic signatures yet, but they are working on legislation.
But it's storage that's wasteful, and we're bringing what we have to the I wanted it in the minutes that those was being destroyed, and that we're bringing the rest of them down to the jail to store and try to cut out wastefulness.
We need to lose weight.
Good thing.
Just on the underground, you have to send out a request to have documents destroyed. They won't just automatically destroy them. They'll send you back a copy of what they plan to destroy and at your request, and then you have to sign it and send it back before they destroy the documents. On storage issue, since it was brought up, we would like to bring some of our documents back, but we're out of room. So we will need location to put documents. We have quite a bit.
I would ask the county commission to look at this process and we may need to build our own storage unit if the cost of storing our product gets that expensive.
Okay. Jim?
I just want to bring up, just for those listening, there may not be any more. I mean, after 2 hours, I'm not sure I would stay awake and listen to us. But how many we got? One? 26? They have fallen asleep. Last week, just a couple of highlights of what we talked about, the energy grant. We did approve the energy grant and submitted it on time. We'll know within a few months on that, how that plays out. We also approved the SID. That was something that was discussed on Monday, and then we tabled it till Wednesday, and then we did vote on it Wednesday to approve the change in SID, both taking out property and netting property. On Thursday, a highlight of that, we had multiple meetings, but the highlight was Jim Berry at Taney County Health Department gave us an update on the animal control, and things are looking good. I have his report, but basically there's less transfers, which means there's less animals going to Carthage or Joplin. And then there was a discussion about animals missing. And the correct answer why there is a discrepancy of 13 is the animals that transferred over from year to year. So we didn't lose any animals.
Jimmy mailed this.
Yeah, Jimmy gave us. Right. And there's less animals being euthanized overall. And our adoption rates are up almost 8%, I think is what it is. So their efforts are certainly improving. They've added extra personnel. They've joined their forces and our force together. So now there's 6 people in animal control. And I believe he talked about adding Sunday as adoption hours. So he hasn't picked what day of the when he's going to start that, but they're going to add Sunday as adoption also. So that was something else. And then on Friday, Commissioner Strahan and Frank Preston and some other representatives from Taney County went to the MoDOT District 8 planning workshop, and we'll be sending out their highlights of that meeting. But it appears that from what I understand and having some debriefings, that the high road extension is moving quickly through the prioritization process, and all I can tell is it looks like it's has a lot of momentum all of a sudden. So that's the only thing, the biggest highlight I saw from in talking to the people who attended. So anyway, that was the highlights of last week.
Oh, and I'd like to have their traffic counter checked. 5,000 cars a day on that road, because I wouldn't be afraid to set up my tent out there and camp there on the high road. They must have been taking it where you turn into the schools, the only thing I can figure out.
I'm not saying anything about why it's there. I'm just saying that's what they talked about.
I know. I was there. And
you were there. Do you have any more to add? I'm sorry.
There was, and Taney County did have some projects that progressed, I think with some help from Joanne Emerson and some of our federal representatives, the three laning through Forsyth, all the way from discussion from 160 to F Highway to 65 was discussed heavily. We took votes, and those new ratings will all come out after they are analyzed. But there was, just as Jim said, there was 4 or 5 things that was high on their priority list before there was any discussion of priority list, and the high road is one of those things. And I guess I don't live in the right part of the county to accept that very well, so I just I'll be quiet from that point on.
Was Dan Watts with him, SimCog?
Yes.
Part of the discussion and everything?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he made one of the presentations. He said it in the Southwest Missouri regional table. They had tables set up, and each area was represented, and they had someone from SimCog sit at those tables. So
good.
And go through the scoring process.
He's been a part of that 160 project. I mean,
mm-hmm.
keeping it in the thing.
Right, and it has, you know, with the federal dollars and stimulus monies, it has a, it'd be a great thing for Taney County. One thing that was discussed that we have all discussed is the intersection at F and 160, no matter if the other project didn't make full headway, we'd like to see that. They're talking about a roundabout there. Because of the proximity of going to Rockaway and Merriam Woods and 160 and F, we're talking about a roundabout there, and that would be, looks to me like of all the places where you had enough room to do something like that and make it effective, that would be a perfect location for that, so.
I agree, boy, that'd be a good spot for it.
And so, commission, I think the commission get behind and push for that with our federal people. I think we might stand a good chance of getting that taken care of.
Yep. Okay, I forgot accounts payable. I wanted to make a note. In our accounts payable, $181,314.47 went to TIFs. Just wanted to remind everybody, Bobby made a comment a while ago about the county commission being responsible for the spending the money. Once again, I'd like to say that that $181,000 the county commission has no control over. And I think James and I'll agree on this one. When the voters voted for a sewer sales tax, and a road and bridge tax, and a law enforcement tax, and a general county revenue sales tax, four sales taxes in the county, I think that the ones responsible for those dollars ought to be responsible for them, and to give that responsibility away in TIFs is not right. And
those well, I don't think any of you gave the responsibility away in the TIFs.
We did not give it, you're right. You made a comment, though, that we ought to do something about that other issue. I forget how that all played out here. And we've tried to do something. We haven't been successful. But I think I've got an axe to grind there. There's no two ways about it, and I think I need to keep grinding until something changes. Another issue, maybe an axe to grind, forgive me if it is. Danny, you mentioned something about us being fair and how we hear things as a county commission. I agree. The people that you were talking about, I let them come and speak. James came to talk to us today. I let him speak. Today we had Donna come up and James come up after our regular meeting. Sometime back last year, because of issues, we changed our agenda and said that if an elected official needed to speak, they had to do it under public comment. We all agreed to that. That was our rule. And I realize I'm guilty, if that's the right term, for being lax, but I think there's lots of times it's the way to do it. I mean, it'd be silly to run off Donna and run off James and say, no, you can't talk to us now, you need to come back. My point in saying all that is, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again. If I'm letting people talk or not letting people talk as presiding commissioner, talk to me. Interrupt me. You won't offend me. We want to do the county's business. I think everybody agrees about that. Bob, you made a point about the assessor and the presiding commissioner. We all know that James and I disagree on a lot of things, and we're both intense. I think the public probably doesn't like to hear our intenseness, and I try to keep it low, but my issue today was I just want to know what the questions are, and I couldn't seem to get them, and so James and I kind of back and forth. I certainly don't mean it to James personally. I care about him personally. We've got our issues. And you've tried to stop us, Bob, by calling Jim and I. We were just having a you know, pretty strong conversation. We weren't either one mad. We were just talking. And we want to represent our county well. I know that's all true. So if you need, please suggest be a little different. I mean, we set rules and we bend them sometimes. And, that's it. Thank you for hearing me go on and on. I'm ready to recess.
Excellent.
Thank you.
What have we got? How are we scheduled?
Okay.
We've got.
Frank, 9:45.
That's 12. How have you heard today?
Was our next.